chapter 17. We're not going to be in Philippians tonight. 1 Kings chapter 17. First Kings 17. I look at the world today, and there are times and situations you find in every period of our lives where you will be forced to either stand up or step aside. There are leaders that are being formed. There are preachers that are being raised up. There are situations to where our very faith will be tested. But I love the fact that when our faith is tested, God always provides a place or a period of rest and restoration. You may be in the trenches, you may be fighting, you may be having battle after battle after battle, and yet when you're in the hardest situations of your life, it seems to me God always makes a way for you to have rest and restoration. Rest and restoration. So as we're going to 1 Kings chapter 17, we're going to read the first seven verses. So let's all stand as we read the first seven verses of 1 Kings chapter 17. And it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." That's pretty bold. Elijah going to the king saying, "Hey, buddy, it's not going to rain. Nothing's going to happen. Thus saith the Lord." And the word of the Lord came to him saying, "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Verse number 7, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." The title of my message, very short time we're going to spend here, is Lessons from the Brook Cherith. Lessons from the Brook Cherith. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord God, I thank you so much for this opportunity, for this time. Lord, I pray that as we look at these lessons, that we would understand that there are things in our lives to give us periods of rest and restoration. And Lord, if we do not take advantage of those, it is not the resources you've given us fault, but our fault. Lord, I pray that we take this message and apply it to our lives. Let it be something that we, through 2018 on, make a habit. I pray when it's all said and done, we give you all the honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I can almost picture Elijah here as he is standing in front of Ahab, and he says, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Basically, what he's saying is, it's not going to rain at all until I give the word. And the funny thing about this is Ahab was married to Jezebel, and Jezebel had prophets of Baal. We all know about Mount Carmel and all of that. We know Ahab's background. And he's saying, "As the Lord God liveth, before I stand, it's not going to rain at all." And he goes up and God tells him to run away to where I'm going to tell you. Church, every day you have to look the world in the eye and say, as the Lord, as my Lord God, whom I stand with, I will not follow the world. I will stand by him. And it's hard and it's tough. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you that every day is pleasant and you're going to have 4 hours of Bible study and you're going to have your 4 hour prayer time. And I hope and I wish that and I pray for that for you, but it doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes you wake up and you're like, all right, let me get my Bible reading in. What can I learn? What can I learn? What's the shortest book in the Bible? Hey, I've been guilty of that. I get into my Bible and I read my chapter of the day. I feel like I've accomplished something. But God really says, I want you to dive into my word. I want you to get close to me. And the closer we get to God, the bolder we become. It's just how it is. I mean, I'm not going to stand for something I'm not invested in. My son is 3 years old. My son, Titus is 3 years old. He is by far got one of the sweetest hearts. Now, those of you that have watched him in the nursery or had him in class, you've seen a different side of him sometimes, but he's really got a good heart. And I love that little man. But something different about Titus than the others is he is the shyest boy you've ever met. Unless he's next to mommy and daddy. Because when he's next to mommy and daddy, he's standing there. He's like, hi, I'm Titus. Hi, I'm Titus. Hi, I'm Titus. You leave him alone and he realizes that mommy and daddy's not around. He's like, mommy, daddy, and trying to find us. The closer that he is to his parents, the bolder he is. He's going to say, hi, mommy. Hi, my name's Titus. Hi, how you doing? The farther he's away from us, he's scared. He's not as confident. He doesn't have that same extrovert spirit that I know he has. He has to be close to mom and dad. The closer we are to God, the bolder we will be. The farther away from God, the less likely we're going to be to share him to others. That's not really the point of my message. I'm just trying to lay a foundation here. Elijah was close to God. Elijah was close to God, looking the heathen king in the face and telling him, I don't care what your prophets say, this is what God says. And God said it, it's going to happen. So obviously Ahab was not happy about that, and so God told Elijah to get away, to go away, and head toward a place that I will show you. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Verse number 4. But in verse number 3, I want you to go to the brook Cherith. That is before Jordan. Three simple points that I have. Three simple points that I believe are not going to be big shockers to you. But I believe that there is something that we all lack at times, and I know at times when I go through my work week and I am working every day, I forget. And I can't say it any plainer than that. I forget these things and I get frustrated and I wonder sometimes, does God care or is God really there? And we've all had periods where we look at ourselves and say, God, where are you? Where's this, you know, where's the relief I'm going to have? Obviously, God will never leave us nor forsake us. We all know that. But I'm talking about our own personal time where we need rest and restoration. So let's look at this real quick, okay? Three simple points that I have here that God has given us lessons from the brook Cherith. And most of them are going to be in verse number 4. Verse number 4. So let's start verse number 3. Get thee hence and turn eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. Thou shalt drink of the brook. Number 1, you can find relaxation in God's word. In God's word. You see, many times we look at the word of God and say, oh, okay, brother leader, I get it. Okay, we read God's word. We have rest and we have restoration. Okay, a lot of Sunday school answers here. I get that. It's not deep. But the question I have for you is this. When was the last time you grabbed your Bible, had time to sit down, and just start dissecting and diving into a passage of Scripture? You see, Elijah was weary. Elijah was tired. Elijah was fighting the world, and he was fighting it head on. He had to find rest and restoration, and he found that because he went to a place where God had a brook for him to drink from. Christians, we have a brook where we can drink from on a daily basis. We have a brook, and it's a limitless supply, and we can dive in, and I guarantee you, if there is a problem that you're facing in your everyday life, it is in this book. How do you get through, how do you build a strong marriage? It's in this book. How do you make it through your everyday life when the world keeps beating you down? It's in this book. How do you witness? It's in this book. How do you handle your finances? It's in this book. Listen to me very closely. We are searching and going after one thing, after another, after another, after another. When God has put everything you will ever have to know, every situation you will ever face is in this book. And yet, instead of treating it like the brook, it is, we kind of toss it to the side and wonder why we have no rest, why our soul is not restored, why our peace is missing. The world will beat you down, but you have to look towards the Bible for rest and restoration. I enjoy the Master's Club, I really do. And we had an opportunity to have all the groups together, and I preached Psalms 23. Everyone knows Psalms 23. Everyone knows, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. We all know that. But I love looking at young children because I started off by saying, do you know what God or the Bible likens us to be? What animal? Who knows that? Sheep. You ever had, how many of you had the privilege to go to a farm or a ranch or everything or have interaction with sheep? They are the dumbest animals. They are just, seriously, you could grab a sheep, turn it upside down, leave it there for an hour, go in, talk to your friends, come back, sheep will still be there. They don't know how to get on their hind legs. And the funny thing about sheep is the sheep will always go where they want to go. They won't really follow direction. So what shepherds had to do is they had to break the legs of the sheep, put it on their shoulders until their legs healed. And then after the legs healed, the sheep never left the side of the shepherd. It's kind of another message in and of itself. But I love that. I love looking at children. Do you know we're likened to sheep? No. I'm a lion. You know, you'll have that one child that says, I'm a lion. Things of that nature. But I started really looking at Psalms 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It's amazing to me that the situations we look at, there's books upon books upon books of way to deal with all sorts of things. And we'll look at those before we start dipping into the brook that God has given us. I've spoken enough on that, but number one, you need to find rest and restoration in God's word. Number two, verse number four, and I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Not only has he given us a Bible, But he's given us a church with a pastor. A church with a pastor. I love that. If you continue on, you read in verse number 6, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Ravens were commanded. God said, ravens, I want you to go grab bread and flesh, and I want you, and meat, and I want you to come and drop it in front of Elijah. Just have the ravens. Your job is to go and take the bread and the meat and take it to Elijah. The preacher's job, the pastor's job, is to be in this book daily. The bread of the word, the meat of the word. To be in it, studying, searching, wanting to get something from God so that he can share that with you. So what he does is he grabs the bread that he gets every day from this book, and he dissects it till he finds the meat. Then he puts that together in an outline so that he can spread God's word on a weekly basis. I know the amount of hours that goes into that. The time, the research, the wanting to make sure every word is right, wanting to make sure your outline is perfect. Why? Not because of praise from man. It's because once you're behind this holy desk preaching the word of God, it is the scariest thing you will ever do in your life. Why? Because it's not your words, it's God's words. And yet, many times, we sit at home, and I know I'm talking to Wednesday night crowd, we sit at home and we say, well, I'm just too busy tonight. Well, I got a football game on tonight. Well, the Super Bowl's going to be here in February. It's once a year. It doesn't matter. You see the mindset of many people? God has commanded the ravens to feed Elijah, and God has commanded a preacher to be so enthralled with God's word that he can give you lessons from his word to change your life. And lastly, he's given us the Bible to give us rest and restoration. He's given us a preacher to give us bread and meat from his word. A message is not effective if there's not an application. And point number 3 is the application for you. Look at verse number 6. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. You see, it's not enough to have a brook. It's not enough to have ravens bring food. Elijah had to physically bend down to take water from that brook. He had to physically reach out to receive bread and meat from the ravens. The only moving part that is relied on to connect all of these things together in your life is you. You being faithful to church every time the doors are open is you physically reaching up, grabbing bread, grabbing meat, and using that to be applied to your everyday life from the word of God that is presented by the preacher. You physically kneeling down, grabbing water from that brook when you open this word of God is you physically taking from the brook. I think we know what is needed of us, but I think on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, on a yearly basis, because it takes consistency, we just have a hard time on a consistent basis kneeling down, and getting from the brook. And we have a hard time on a consistent basis being here when pastor's presenting the word Sunday and Wednesday. And I'm going to go a little farther than that. We all know of people that could have been here. And you know, I'm not downing them. Some have jobs that work at night. I get that. But what I'm trying to say is this. If you had the opportunity to be here, hearing from God's word or somewhere else, what would the choice be? And I know I'm talking to the Wednesday night crowd. So I'm going to try to put a nice ribbon on this and then we'll be done. 2018, my wife and I have called 2018 the year of restoration, okay? We want to see something more in our family. So what we've done, we've kind of taken some steps that have helped us with our children and helped us with our personal family, not only spiritually, and in some other areas as well. But the one thing we really want to focus on is we want a family that when God looks at us, he can use us. So 2018 is like a year of restoration for us. 2017, it kind of feels like you're limping out of 2017. You're going into 2018, right? My challenge to you is very simple. Every day, drink from the brook. Every time you can, grab from the bread, grab from the meat. Because I would hate to say that in your life, verse number 7 came to pass. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. God's word is God's word, but eventually if we do not take advantage of this, it's going to dry up in our lives. I am blessed to be here. And my wife and I love living in Arizona. We love living here. We love being a part of Vision Baptist Church. So if I'm speaking at all, it's not from a position of ministry. It's a position from a layman just wanting to tell you something that he is dealing with as well in the workplace. It takes a daily effort to drink from the brook. And there are times you're just not going to want to do it. But can I challenge you and can I encourage you a little bit? The times that I have not wanted to do something that related to God's word are the times that I received the most satisfaction when I just went ahead and did it. Because a command is a command whether I like it or not. Amen. So let me challenge you. Every day, whether you like it or not, whether it's easy or difficult, drink from the brook. Drink from the brook. See what God can do if you are consistent for 1 year. And last, man, I'm sure glad I was here for the message. How many times have we heard that same passage here recently? Five? I think it's four or five times. I think God's trying to tell us something, but the ones that are not here, taking from the bread, taking from the meat, are missing out. I challenge you. I plead with you, as I am with myself. If the doors are open Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday night, please be here. Missionary conference, mission conference, revival, be here. Why? Because you never know what meat, what bread that the pastor has been given by God that could change your life. But it's going to take an effort from us to be here and to drink from the brook. Every head bowed and every eye closed.